Now let's continue on and see about the Christian Passover. First part is the foot washing. Jesus made it clear where to do it. Jesus made it clear that there is understanding that comes from obeying. Likewise, there's understanding in keeping the other elements of the Passover, the bread and the wine. Now let's come to Matthew 26. We're going to look at three accounts here. Okay. Matthew 26 and verse 26. Now, let me just interject here that because Jesus was the Lord God of the Old Testament, he had to, with the disciples, first take of the last Old Testament Passover. So they did that first. Then he had to introduce the New Testament Passover, the New Covenant Passover. Verse 26, Matthew 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it. Now, question always comes up, was it leavened or unleavened? Well, what were the instructions back in Exodus 12? Unleavened bread. He said he was going to eat the Passover with his disciples. So there's unleavened bread for the Passover. Now, some people use leavened bread because they think that's better. See, once you get off with the covenant Christian Passover, then all kinds of other things begin to happen. So as they were eating, Jesus took the bread and blessed it, and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." So that was symbolic of his flesh. And he took the cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to him, saying, "All of you drink of it, for this is my blood, the blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the remission of sins." Now, these are really what you might say big time statements. How did they have sins forgiven before? They go to the temple, offer a sacrifice. Okay. Now we have the sacrifice of God manifested in the flesh. And it's far more important that God did this, because this is the only way that God could, in justice, provide a way out of sin for all of mankind. So that's why he said, "This is my blood, the blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the remission of sins." All right, let's come to Mark, the 14th chapter. Mark 14, verse 22. Mark 14, verse 22. Now, it's also important because the Bible says that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, everything shall be established, correct? So we have Matthew, we have Mark, and we have Luke. And they give almost the identical account. Verse 22. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." See? Now, notice what he said also of the cup, almost identical to Matthew. And he took the cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, "This is my blood." Now, they didn't understand that when they were given the wine. But afterwards, they understood it. "The blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many." Now, Mark 14, and let's pick it up here in verse 22. And as they were eating, remember he had to finish the Old Testament Passover first, then institute the new. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, "This is my blood, the blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many." Now, they understood covenant law. And covenant law demands the sacrifice before the covenant is enacted. And he did. So when he died, his death ended the covenant with Israel and began the covenant with the church. Now let's come to Luke 22. Luke 22. Now we have Luke's account. Then we have another witness, which then is Paul. Okay? Now let's pick it up here in verse 19. And he took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in the remembrance of me." And in like manner, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." Now notice there's just a slight difference between this and the other accounts, which is poured out for many. See, so God does it for all that come to him through Christ, but individually for each one, for you. "This do in the remembrance of me." Okay? Poured out for you. All right. Now, let's come to 1 Corinthians 11. Now, there's a little tricky place here in 1 Corinthians 11 that is not noted in any translation. Now, I will explain that to you when we get to it. Let's see what Paul says. So, actually, now, we have four witnesses, don't we? Verse 23. Now, this tells us when we are also to do it, which means that understanding that the Passover, when Jesus was crucified, was in the middle of the week, and that he was that perfect sacrifice. Now, verse 23, "For I received from the Lord," he had personal instruction from him, "that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And after giving thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is being broken for you.'" Isn't that interesting? Present tense passive. "This do in the remembrance of me." Now, how often is a remembrance? Once a year. Okay? Look at it this way. We have a day that is called Memorial Day, correct? We are to remember all of those who died in wars. Do we have it every morning? Do we have it every hour? Do we have it every Sunday? No. In the night in which he was betrayed, that is the day. See? The night part of the day. Let me clarify for those who are picky. Okay. "And after giving thanks, he broke it and said, 'Do this in the remembrance of me.'" Verse 25. "In like manner, he also took the cup after he had supped, saying, 'This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. This do.'" Now, here's the tricky little phrase. We'll come back to it. "As often as you drink it, in the remembrance of me." All right. What does the phrase "as often as you drink it" mean? You look at that and you say, well, that's any time we desire it, correct? All right. Well, the Greek does not show that. Now, I have this all written in the Passover book. So if you haven't read the Passover book, you read it. This is why it's necessary to understand the original language so you know what it's saying. Okay? "As often as you drink it." Now, in the Greek, there are two Okay? There are two untranslatable particles. In the Greek, they are alpha nu, which in the English is an, and pronounced on. And that means this. The phrase as often as has qualifiers. And the qualifiers determine the often as. So that it's not anytime you desire. Okay? So, we can determine from the context, in the night. That tells us how often. Okay? That one night of the year. The remembrance is an annual event. Now, why does he say, as often as you drink it, in the remembrance of me? Now, verse 26 says almost the same thing. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you solemnly proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Okay? When did Jesus die? Passover day. That's another qualifier. All right. What is the intent and meaning of this then? With these two particles on, it means that it is qualified by the things that I just mentioned here. Plus, we can add this to it. They were still expecting Christ to return in the lifetime of the apostles. Now, this was written in the 50s AD. And they thought that Christ was going to return. So, until Christ returns, as often as you do it once a year, that's when you take it. See? That was the original meaning and intent of this. Now, there's some other things that they did, which we won't get into here, but they were having a meal with the Passover, and so therefore, the very last verse in chapter 11 says this, but if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, that is before he comes to the Passover, so that there will be no cause for judgment when you assemble together. Okay? That's why you are not to have a meal on the Passover night. You eat at home before you come. And if you don't eat at home before you come, and you get back home and you're hungry, well, eat when you get back home. See? But they were having a whoopee-doo time. Some were drinking lots of wine, getting drunk. See? No, it's a very solemn thing. This is indeed remembrance of Christ. Now, let's tie this together with what we have learned concerning baptism. How that when we are baptized, we are conjoined to the sacrifice of Christ. That's our part of the covenant. Christ died, that's his part. Our renewal every year is to take the Passover every year. And we can say, as often every year, until you reach the end of your life or until Christ returns. Okay? Now, Satan has come along and has caused all kinds of confusion. Leavened bread, grape juice only. Now, the only time for grape juice or non-alcoholic wine is if anyone has made a covenant with God, a vow to God that I will not drink again unless you qualify and say, except for the Passover, you are not to drink any wine. So in that event, then it would be the grape juice or the non-alcoholic wine, either one. Why is that? Remember, when you tell God something, you better mean it. You can't come along and change your mind. Oh, God, forgive me for this, and turn around and do it again. But in telling God you're not going to touch another drop because you've been an alcoholic, or that you just personally don't want to drink anymore, whatever it may be, do not do it. Let's read it here. Let's pick it up here in Matthew 5. Let's come back to Matthew 5. Let's see why. Remember, what we say to God, He is going to hold us accountable. See? Okay. Matthew 5, let's pick it up here in verse 33. Matthew 5:33. Again, you have heard that it was said to those in ancient times, you shall not forswear yourself, but you shall perform your oaths to the Lord. So when you say, I'm not going to drink anymore, you're not to drink anymore. But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it's God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is the footstool for his feet, nor by Jerusalem, because it's the city of the great king. Neither shall you swear by your head, because you do not have the power to make one hair white or black. But verse 37 is the key. Let your word be good. Your yes be yes, and your no be no. For anything that is added to these is from the evil one. Because Satan will come along and say, oh, that's all right. You know, go ahead and do this. Look at how righteous the priests are in the Catholic Church. And they've got all these beautiful ceremonies. And he gives the command. And Christ puts his flesh and his blood in the host and in the wine. That's called transubstantiation. Well, think about it for a minute. Was Jesus raised from the dead? Yes, indeed. Was he a spirit being? Yes, he did, because he could walk through doors. Okay. Does he have any literal human flesh anymore? No. So it's impossible for him to put his flesh and blood there. Okay. Number two. Can a man command God to do something? No way. But people accept this as normal. People accept this as godly, because that's what they have been told. And then look at all of the other things that have been added on top of it. So this is why the true New Covenant Christian Passover is the dividing line between the doctrines of the Christianity of this world and the truth of the Bible. And it is also the central thing, which then is going to have you retaining the Spirit of God so you can see and you can know and understand the truth. Now that's why. So here we are. This Thursday night, we're going to have the Passover right here in this room. Now, we have a Passover ceremony booklet that has all the scriptures listed. Now, the reason we do that is so that you don't have to flip back and forth in your Bible. We have all the scriptures straight from the Bible so we can concentrate on the reading of it, on the meaning of it, and we can think about our relationship with Jesus Christ and God the Father. We can think about what Jesus Christ has done for us. We can think about what he has commanded us. We can think about all the promises that we will read that he has given, and that we are in the new covenant with Christ, and we have that personal one-to-one relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, lest you think that you're not important to God, remember this. Jesus said that John the Baptist was the greatest prophet, yet he did no miracles. But the one who enters the kingdom of God will be greater than John the Baptist, because God is going to give us eternal life through Christ. And that's what the covenant is all about. So when we keep the Passover, keep all of these things in mind, so that we realize what a great and marvelous thing this is and what Jesus has done for us and for the sins of the whole world as well. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.